Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh my goodness! It's only preseason, but I'm hyped. He'll fuck. Jimmy G. Buckets gets buckets. Oh my goodness! Give me the hot sauce!
Welcome into a brand new edition of the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, and we're riding a hot streak. This is two straight episodes where all three of us are in the Sriracha studios. That's got to be some kind of record lately, right?
Yeah, with this team traveling, I mean, we've had last 2 weeks, so we only had to go out of town once during the week, which is good. And the season's winding down now.
It's really winding down now. I mean, since we reconvened, they lost to Boston, which was missing three of their starters. So that really was kind of a bad loss. They should have won that game as shorthanded as Boston was. And then the Washington thing, that's inexplicable to be down 15-0 and then lose to the team with the worst record in the league.
And then you throw in a Houston loss too. That, you know, that kind of stunk. But yeah, last night's game was inexcusable. Like, seriously, I was so mad last night that, you know, when they were down 15-0, you know, and 15-2, I was ready to take off the headset and just go home. It was one of the few times that I got upset, but that really upset me last night.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about the Bulls and the upcoming NBA playoffs in our next segment. But first, everybody's talking about the NFL and what's going to happen in the upcoming draft. We're about a month away. April 25th is the annual NFL draft, and it's going to be interesting to see which direction, how many trades we might see. We've already seen the one big trade with Justin Fields going to Pittsburgh. And to help us sort through some of that, what it means to Justin, what it means for the Bears going forward, it is our pleasure to welcome in Ted Wynn, the outstanding NFL writer for The Athletic. I know you've been spending some time talking about the situation with Justin Fields going to Pittsburgh. He's going to be a backup to Russell Wilson. Now, the Bears said they wanted to do right by Justin Fields. Do you think this is a good situation for Justin to walk into?
Yeah, I think at that point, when a lot of teams have starting quarterbacks and the rest of the starting or the rest of the teams that do need quarterbacks being positioned to draft one, I think being in Pittsburgh gives them a chance to start. I know they promised Russell Wilson the starting job, but I don't think they foresaw that they were going to trade away Kenny Pickett. And once they trade away Kenny Pickett, a spot for a quarterback opened up and they traded for Justin Fields. And when you trade for Justin Fields, I think he could give Russell Wilson competition. I think Russell Wilson's going to start the season, but I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Fields challenged him in training camp. And I honestly think that Fields could probably take over for Russell Wilson midseason. I know Russell Wilson's stats looked good last season, but when you really broke down the games and watched him, you know, he was just doing a lot of, if his first read wasn't open, he was going to his running back right away. The running backs for the Broncos led the league in receptions and yards. And You don't want to be leader in that stat category. So I thought Russell Wilson was just a very limited passer last season. And I think Justin Fields, if you really watched him, and I know you guys have, I thought he made some real improvements towards the end of last season. I thought the Falcons game was one of his better games as a pure passer. And I think the Bears are just in a situation where they want to reset that rookie contract clock. And, I think Pittsburgh, I think he'll have a shot in Pittsburgh.
One of the things that I've seen so far, I know Fields wasn't Ryan Poles' guy, Ted. So therefore he's really not connected to him. I just felt like the way they're doing it now, they're putting all these weapons and are getting, wide receivers, they're getting all, running backs, they're getting all these weapons to make sure that the new quarterback who comes in has a really good base, a good foundational base, and really set up to succeed. Does this tend to be more of the regime before Poles got there fault about the way Justin Fields' development has been, or is it a Poles situation?
Yeah, I think the situation that Fields came into, and it wasn't Ryan Poles' team when Fields was drafted, was one of the worst situations a quarterback could come into. The offensive line was a mess. He didn't have a lot of good receivers. And I just wasn't a big fan of Luke Getsy's offense. I just never thought the offense was really catered towards him. He was hired in Justin Fields' second year, but it took until that Patriots game, which was, I think, week 7, for them to really commit to an option game. And that's when the offense sort of took off. And for me, I think, you should have had that offense in right in training camp. And then they try to go away from it starting last season, and it was a disaster, and they had to go back into it. So I just think that they just never had a real team built around him to starting early, and they never had an offense that was catered around him. And last year, they did a good job of rebuilding the offensive line. And then obviously this year, they really brought in some weapons with bringing in DeAndre Swift and, getting Keenan Allen and setting up whoever's going to play quarterback for the Bears next for success. So I don't blame Poles for the situation that Fields came into, but it was a very bad situation. And now the situation that whoever's going to play quarterback for the Bears to step into is an extremely good one.
Well, Stacy and I have been pretty consistent about supporting Fields. We felt like with his athleticism, his ability to make plays on the run, surrounded by the right supporting cast, we think he has a bright future in the league. But obviously, a lot of general managers around the league don't see it that way. I mean, initially, there was talk the Bears could maybe get a second or a third round draft pick for Fields. It turns out to be a conditional sixth rounder where no team was really going to give him a chance to come in as the recognized starter. The one criticism about Fields that you hear almost from everybody you talk to around the NFL circles is that he holds on to the ball too long. He has a tough time processing information. Is that a legitimate criticism in the tape and the games you've seen?
Yeah, well, I think the compensation for Fields came down to the fact that everyone knew that the Bears needed to trade him. So they didn't have much leverage. Depending on who you talk to, maybe the Bears had better offers from other teams. Maybe the timing of the trade diminished the value a little bit. And as far as Fields, yeah, I believe that Fields could be a good quarterback too. I also think that you have to commit to running a certain type of offense when you have Fields, and not every offensive coordinator and coach is willing to do that. But I mean, my take on Fields and me and Stacey kind of talked about this. My hot take is Justin Fields is not that far away from Jalen Hurts as far as skill level and quarterback ability. It's just that that Jalen Hurts is playing an offense that's catered for him, playing behind an amazing offensive line with some really great receivers. Fields never really had that. So I think if you put Fields into that type of offense, offensive system and with a great offensive line and good receivers, he could be extremely productive too. What's the last part of the question?
Just the knock on him that he holds the ball too long, that he doesn't see the field well to make secondary reads.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at his time to throw, it kind of matches up with, Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts and guys that try to create and create second reaction plays. So when you're that type of quarterback that wants, not willing to check the ball down and trying to create those big plays, your time to throw is going to be pretty long. It's going to be on the longer end. I think there are times where Fields needs to get rid of the ball faster, and that's something he has to get better at as he progresses in his career. But I just think the type of quarterback he is and the type of playmaker he is, that time to throw is always going to be on the longer end.
Well, you know, when his name was coming up in all these trades and you didn't really hear a lot of the interest from these other teams, especially teams who need quarterbacks, I go back to remember when Lamar Jackson was a free agent. And, you know, this is a guy who'd already won an MVP, you know, who's already one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the game. And there wasn't a lot of interest in him from other teams. You didn't see anybody beating his door down. They didn't think he, you know, he was a legit passer. He's a running quarterback first. And, you know, Baltimore paid him like an elite quarterback. And his skill set, I look at Justin Fields and I think, you know, he's not as a dynamic, you know, athlete as Lamar Jackson is, but he's pretty damn dynamic. I mean, the guy can rush for, you know, 1,300 yards and still be able to throw for 35 to 4,000 in the right system with the right weapons. Do you see that being kind of the case with Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I always thought that was Justin Fields' potential. I mean, obviously, we have to see it play out, and we've seen glimpses of it where he's had huge games. But, I mean, the thing that, you know, I always come back to was with quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, when they were developing, they got to develop in these option-heavy offenses that really took advantage of their legs and gave them something successful they can do as they developed as passers. And I felt like Justin Fields just never had that. He was kind of asked to be a pocket passer right away when he came into the league, and that just wasn't his strength. And he needed those training wheels like those guys had and were able to do until they really start developing as passers.
You know, Stacey, that's a good question, because this is Ted. Is the league become paradoxical in this fashion? Because you look at, you know, San Fran, and you look at the Eagles, and they say the number one position is the quarterback position, but they're building teams around a quarterback is not their first draft pick, but say, okay, we're going to build the team, and then let's see if this guy can fit into the system as a lower paid guy to control this game and get us to where we need to be. Does that seem like a paradoxical attempt by the Bears as well in the same process?
I think, you know, when you take that approach of we're going to build the team first and then draft a quarterback, you're taking a chance of because it's hard to keep that team together, right? It's hard keeping all that talent together with the salary cap, with the way it is. So if you build this great team and then you go out and get the quarterback, and that quarterback doesn't end up being very good, then you're going to have this good team that's kind of being wasted by this quarterback that didn't develop the way you need to. So, I mean, for example, you know, the Bears have a great team right now. And, you know, everybody thinks Caleb Williams is going to be that guy. But if he comes in and he becomes a bust, then you're kind of wasting the 3-4 years that you keep this good team together, because it's really hard to keep a really talented group together with the way the league is built right now.
Well, the Bears are doing their due diligence to get to know Caleb Williams. Both Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus talked at the owners' meetings down in Florida, saying that they had extended dinner conversations with him. They talked to a lot of his teammates. All his teammates love him, that the concerns about his attitude are totally overinflated, that he's a guy that comes across as gregarious and people really tend to like him. Nobody doubts the kid's arm talent, but what do you see of him as an NFL prospect, and how do you see him fitting with the Bears?
Yeah, I think there are enough plays of him playing within the structure of the offense and making his reads and throwing in rhythm for you to believe that he can develop that part of his game. I think there, you know, of course, there was a lot of times where he kind of resorted to backyard football, and he was trying to do too much and play too far outside of structure. And some of that had to do with USC's offensive line was really bad. Their defense was obviously one of the worst in the nation, so he felt like he had to score every play. But I thought there's enough clips of him playing in rhythm that gives you encouragement that he could make that a bigger part of his game, and he could adapt to the NFL game to go along with all the incredible plays that he could make outside of structure.
Is there a chance that the Bears could go in a different direction and possibly trade that pick and move down and maybe get a J.J. McCarthy or someone like that later on, and then try to address some needs and get more parts from that first pick? Or do you even possibly see them with the number one pick moving away from Caleb Williams and taking a McDaniels or something like that? You know, some of these guys are moving up the ranks pretty fast. You hear McDaniels from the LSU, McDaniels, Kip Mellick's name going up there. What do you think the Bears are going to do with that number one pick?
To me, it's like a 95% chance that they draft Caleb Williams, in my opinion. I think when you trade away Justin Fields, you're pretty locked. You're locking yourself into getting a quarterback number one. And to me, Caleb Williams is the top quarterback in this draft. Drake May, to me, maybe I have Drake May a little closer at the second spot than most people. But if you were to draft a quarterback not named Caleb Williams, I think that guy is Drake May. But again, I think it's a 95% chance you draft Caleb Williams. And as far as trading down, I don't see them doing that because I feel like they've done a pretty good job of filling out the roster, and they have the ninth pick of the draft to address another need as well. So to me, it's 95%, in my opinion, 95% chance that it's going to be Caleb Williams. And then you have the number nine pick to fill out whatever need you want to. And you could even, you know, really bolster the receiver corp and draft a guy like Rome Odunze with that ninth pick.
Even like his cat and his nail color.
Oh my God, this guy.
Hey, Ted, assuming that all three receivers are gone at nine, but you see the Bears trading down and maybe trying to get some value there because they only have four picks in this draft. They're all in the early rounds and they have a lot of needs to fill. Now, they need an edge rusher, but there really isn't a stone cold guy to take at nine. Mm-hmm. What would you do if you were Ryan Poles? Would you look into trading down and maybe getting some more picks, maybe, because they don't have a second round pick right now?
Yeah, I think if you can trade down and get a second round pick, I think that would be a great option to do, because this is a very wide receiver rich draft, so you could potentially get a starting receiver in the second round if you want to, if you're able to get that second round pick by trading down. So yeah, I think, you know, unless it's a guy you love at number nine and you have an option to trade down, that would be a great option.
Okay, suppose they get Caleb Williams. He's coming to a team that won seven games, could have possibly won 9 or 10 last year. He comes in there and he's got a whole new team, a whole bunch of new toys to play with. Where do you realistically see this Bears team in the division? Do you see them still being behind Detroit and Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, I just think Detroit is one of the top teams in the NFC. And Green Bay, you know, with how Jordan Love played last year and all the young weapons they have. But it just really depends on how Caleb Williams presumably is going to play. I mean, you know, I think the defense took some major strides last year. You know, we talked about the weapons they have on the offense. But how, you know, where is Caleb Williams going to take that offense? I mean, if Caleb Williams is a guy that comes out right off the bat and plays like a Pro Bowl type of quarterback, then they're going to be challenging Green Bay. They're going to be challenging the Lions. But if he comes out and he has his rookie struggles and he has up and down games, then it's going to be tough for them to really compete with those teams. And maybe you finish around the same record as you did, but things look bright for the future. But if Caleb comes out and he plays phenomenal and, you know, he's a phenom, then you're going to be competing with those teams because I think they have the talent on the roster to do so. But we just know that, you know, the quarterback position is so important and it's tough for a rookie quarterback, no matter how hyped he is, to come in and play at a Pro Bowl type of level.
Hey, before we let you go, we mentioned the NFL owners are meeting down in Florida and they approved a bunch of rules, the most significant being a change in the kickoff rule. I think I heard a stat that 90% of the kickoffs last year were touchbacks. They want to get that excitement back in the game. And for people who've never seen an XFL game, you know, you've got the kicker still kicking off from the 35, but then all the other players line up at, what is it, the 40 or the 35 with the other team lined up 5 yards against them. You think that that's going to bring some more excitement, or is it going to be difficult to execute that? And you think we'll see more excitement from that kickoff now?
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot more excitement because the rules are designed to incentivize returns. So, you know, if you kick it through the end zone, the ball gets put on a 30, which is not ideal. But most of the kicks are going to go into an area where it's returnable and it has to be returned. And all they're doing is reducing the reducing players getting head starts and running into each other, which creates big collisions. And it's going to be really interesting which teams are going to be able to really innovate in strategy, because I think there's going to be a disparity between teams that are able to quickly catch on and create best practices and be creatives in their strategy on the return teams and the coverage teams, and teams that can't really do that. So I talked to some people in the XFL about this, and the strategy is almost offensive line-like, because the players are so close to each other. And some of the plays that they came up with that are kind of like offensive line plays. They run kind of plays that are kind of like trap plays. They run like pin and pull plays, and double teams are allowed. I think just watching how teams innovate in this area and some of the plays and strategies that come up with is going to be pretty fun. And there's going to, you know, we'll see which teams kind of separate themselves in this area, because it could be a huge advantage.
Too bad we don't have Devin Hester anymore, huh?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah, that would have been exciting. Yeah. I got one more question, Ted.
About the power rankings?
No, forget the power rankings.
Cuz that's disappointing.
How in the world does Kirk Cousins keep pulling Jesse James riding into the bank with no mask on and robbing the bank's clean?
That's awesome, isn't it?
I mean, this guy, and he's a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I like Kirk Cousins. But, man, I mean, he's just coming off an Achilles injury, and he just, again, hit the lottery. How has that happened? And is he going to make that big of a difference in Atlanta compared to if he would have stayed in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson?
Well, he has an amazing agent, first of all. I mean, whoever his agent is, you know.
His name's Jesse James.
Give him an award. But I think, you know, with Kirk Cousins, he's a guy that, you know, he executes the coach's offense really well, right? And anytime a coach sees that, a coach is going to think, I want that guy that can execute my offense, and because I think my offense is good enough to win a championship if I have a guy that can execute it at that level. So he's a desirable quarterback in that sense. But I do think that he got a lot better in the last couple of years. I think the last couple of years, he's been a lot more aggressive with his deep ball, and he's really improved, and really, you know, he's kind of like right at that 10, 11 level right now. And those type of quarterbacks could win you a lot of games in the right situation. Whoever his agent is amazing. I think, you know, he draws. Yeah.
Well, we could see as many as six quarterbacks drafted in the first round in April. So it's going to be a lot of quarterback turnover in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you follow Ted Wynn for all the great coverage at The Athletic. The Athletic's got a lot of specials going on right now. It's one of the best values there is in terms of great sports coverage if you're looking for a subscription service. Ted, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it, and we'll follow your coverage of the draft coming up.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Ted.
That is Ted Wynn. Coming up next, we'll talk a little basketball. Stacey shared some of his disappointment. We'll go into greater detail. That's next. And give me the hot sauce.
A little bit.
If I don't jump off the ledge.
We want to tell you about another one of our great sponsors, our buddy Jeff Vukovich. When it comes to being treated with royalty insurance for your auto, home, and business, make sure you contact our friend, Nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. You can reach him at jeffvuk.com. That's jeffvuk.com. The phone number, 847-825-4783.
Vuk.
Stacey's been working hard. You got another jingle in you?
It's a struggle right now with a respiratory infection, but I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to give it my best.
You can do it.
Nationwide is on your side.
Very nicely done. The folks at, what's the name of that drink? Angry Orchard? They'd be proud of you.
Yeah, Angry Orchard.
Really smoothed that out, didn't it?
Angry Orchard, thank you for getting the vocal cords ready.
Yeah.
Better than coffee.
And if you'd like to sponsor the show,
yeah, we'll take
reach
you.
Out to Timmy Whispers.
Yes.
That's right.
What's your email at
info@gimmethehotsauce.com.
You know, I drove past the Haribo plant the other day.
Yeah.
You know, in Kenosha.
Yeah, they never called
that. That thing is so huge.
It's like, a lot of gummies.
You don't have any few nickels or gummies to throw our way.
Do you ever notice that he stopped eating the Coca-Cola ones and the?
Oh, that's right. You used to bring those in.
Yeah.
What happened with those, Stacey?
Well, they kind of backed up on him.
Who?
The OSHA beeper went off, right? Eep, eep, eep. Said, enough of those.
Yeah, enough of that. No, I don't know. Listen. Listen, we had what was the little drink we had? The power drink we had?
Magic Mind.
Magic Mind.
She keeps hounding me too, and I thought it was great, but it didn't.
I thought it was great too.
You want to talk about the benefits? You want to get that rolling?
Nope.
So if you want to come sponsor the show, sponsors, because there's a strong,
it's not as easy as it sounds.
It's a strong possibility that we may clown your product, but we don't mean to. But it's just sometimes
as I'm
it's
having
part of
an IPA, and I'm pretty sure these have adaptogens in them too. But that's besides the point.
Yeah,
but we love Angry Orchard.
Yeah, we love Angry Orchard.
We'd be happy to have you on.
But it has adaptogens as well.
This guy here, man. Who let this guy on the show?
Well, you know, if it kills the slow brain cells.
Well, getting to the reason why we're all drinking on a Tuesday evening. If you watched the Bulls game last night.
Give me another round, bartender.
That would be the reason why.
Keep them coming.
You know, the Bulls had a chance to get back to 500 when they lost in Houston. And then, of course, they lost at home to Boston. So you're thinking, all right, got a couple more home games coming up against Washington, the worst team in the league. And, you know, Stacey, you can speak to the mentality of this more than anybody can, because you played on championship teams where you got a bum-ass team coming in. And it's only human nature to think, we're going to kill these guys.
That's Mark, but that's been the MO for the Bulls for years, is that they play down to the level of competition. Now, you got to remember, they beat this team by 29 a few weeks earlier, okay? And they had Kuzma, and they had some of their guys there. And then this time, you know, they're playing with two-way players. They're playing with G League guys. And our guys just say, oh, we're just going to show up and play. They don't got all their main guys. It's going to be an easy game. We beat them by 29 when they had their main guys. Now they got all these guys who are trying to make the roster. It should be an easy game. And they came out. They were down 15-0. Billy Donovan should have called a timeout way sooner. I mean, you lose the first quarter 31-17. You outscored 31-17. And if you look in the middle quarters, you know, they had to battle back. And when you're down 15 points, you have to use so much energy, Mark, to get back in the game. And you're at home. You should never be down 15-0 at home, ever, ever. So 31-17, I mean, they were getting killed. They got off to a great start. And you could tell that they were playing with confidence. Wizards were, you know, guys were shooting the ball. Guys were attacking the rim. They were playing extreme confidence. Kispert, I thought, played his best game against the Bulls that I've ever seen. You know, he normally struggles against the Bulls. 19 points, 12 rebounds. His first double-double, I think, in his career. He had a career game last night. I thought Rashawn Holmes.
Guy.
He dominated. He dominated inside. 15 rebounds, 14 points, a couple of blocks. The problem with us is that we think we can turn it on and turn it off. Okay, you're not Boston. See, Boston can do that. You know, the Denver Nuggets can do that. Teams that have been in the finals can do that. When you're a team that's like, you know, you're not a finals team, you're not even a first-round team, you can't have that mentality that we're so good that we can turn it off and turn it on. The Bulls must have it turned on as soon as they come out of the locker room. They got to be ready to play, because last night was inexcusable. It was inexcusable to come out, be at home in front of everybody against one of the worst teams in the league, to be down 15-0 and play with no passion. And I got to give Billy Donovan some blame on this, because, you know, as a coach, and you see your team, you know your team better than anybody, okay? You can tell by body language. You can tell by energy level. You can tell by the way they played, like they weren't ready to play. So as a coach, you got to say, you know what? Come sit down. If we're going to lose, I'm going to lose with guys who are going to come out here and lay it on the line. I'm going to come out and put, Batum out there. I'm going to put, you know, Perry. Drummond out there. I'm going to put, how about throw Javonte Green out there?
Yeah, he hasn't played yet.
This is a guy who's been on this roster for 2 years. He's played for Billy Donovan. He knows the system. Throw him out there to get some energy out there, and let your bench, which I thought when he went to his bench when they were down, they brought him back. And how many times this year have we seen the bench come in and play well and bring him back when they've gotten off to such a slow start? It's been a lot this year.
Hey, D, we've seen that box score long enough. I know that he
fell asleep at the wheel back there.
That's a little disturbing, though, when you look at it, because
you got to see that
you dominate
over
the second
again.
Two quarters, and then –
yeah, but you fall back 15-0. Stacey and I have talked about it all the time. Bulls almost every night spot the other team a big lead, and you can't keep coming back like that.
No. And the thing that's so important about all this is, if this would have been game 30, we'd just wash it off, flush it in the toilet. But it was 12 games left in the season, and you're fighting for a play-in spot. Not a playoff spot, but a play-in spot. And every game is so important. And you've kind of tricked away a couple of games leading up to this game where you should have beat Houston. and you should have beat Boston, who was missing, you know, two starters. You should have beat them, and you definitely should have beat them. Beat this Washington team, and you came out, you know, half-ass effort, and it showed. And I'm telling you, I would sit, guys. Mark, sit down. I don't care how much money you make. Sit down. If you don't want to play, sit down. I thought at the end of the game, as much as DeMar has always been that fourth quarter guy, I thought they could have got a better shot at the end of the game.
He shot it from half court with 2 seconds left. He had time for two more dribbles.
Yeah, he had time to throw the ball to Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe
was
wing,
wide
yeah.
open on the wing. And I thought that's what he was going to do. I don't know if he, you know, first of all, and I love DeMar. I love DeMar. I love the way he plays. I love the way he approaches the game. But he's not the fastest guy advancing the ball. In that situation, it should be your fastest person, whether it be Io or whether it be Kobe. They can get the ball up the floor in 2 or 3 seconds, and they could have got a better shot. It didn't turn out that way. They went, you know, they got the ball to DeMar. I thought DeMar, that shot he took was awful. It was almost as worse as Denzel Valentine's shot.
It's coming up.
I was like, oh, no, no, that's a horrible shot. We almost said that last night. We almost said it last night. But we didn't, because it's DeMar DeRozan, and, you know, he's won some games for the Bulls. And I don't know if he lost track of time. Maybe he didn't think he had enough time to get to half court. But, again, he's not your fastest ball advancer. He shouldn't have been in that situation.
He's looking right at the clock.
Well, and he threw it way before half court. Yeah. There was no chance that ball was going to go in, you know. And so he should have pitched the ball ahead to Kobe. Kobe would have gotten the ball with about 2 seconds and been able to get a good shot. And you know, I'm gonna live with that. If he makes it, he makes it. If he misses, he misses. At least we got a good shot and a
realistic
good
chance.
But you're not gonna make that half court shot. And
unless you're Benny the Bull.
Yeah, one leg running shot. You're not gonna make it. So, you know, I was disappointed. I thought he could have got a better shot. But again, Mark, it should have never came down to that.
Yeah.
It should have. At the end of the day, it should have never came down.
You should have wiped them off the floor and had the fourth quarter, the starter sitting there with ice underneath.
And this is what upsets me, because this is a team, is kind of like an NCAA tournament team. Okay, it's a team, it's a lower seed team that should be higher than what they actually are. The NCAA, you know, you take one of these teams that like is 11 seed, they really should be a 6 seed, and that's us. The Bulls are that way. The Bulls are should be a better team than what they actually are, but they're going to be a lower seed, and they could do one of two things. They can surprise, win the 9-10 game, and then go around and then win the second game and get into the playoffs and be the A seed and have to play Boston.
You might have to play Philadelphia or Miami in that second game.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you. Well, we have the standings.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
What's going to happen there?
It's the Bulls against Philadelphia or Miami?
Right.
I mean, yeah. But if Philadelphia, like, if Philadelphia doesn't have Embiid, I like our chances.
They do match up well with
them. Miami.
Without Embiid.
I need my x-ray vision. Yeah. Can we make that bigger?
Cisco, I want to make sure you got all the teams on there.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, so I need my glasses.
Now, the Bulls right now are a game and a half ahead of Atlanta. And Atlanta's playing better.
Yes.
Atlanta came from 30 down to beat the Celtics.
Okay, so you're looking at right now, tomorrow's game against Indiana is important, because if the Bulls lose tomorrow, they will be tied in the loss column with the Hawks.
Right.
Okay. Now, I think the Bulls have the tiebreaker against the Hawks this year anyway.
Do.
So if that comes down to that, the Bulls will end up getting home court advantage.
It's a little tight.
But that's just step one.
Yes, that's just
step one. If you win the 9-10 yes. game, you got to play the loser of 7-8.
It looks like the Nets are out of it. It really does.
They're done.
I mean, but there's still a mathematical chance they could get in it. You never know. Depends. There's 11 games.
They need Sarah Kustak to suit up.
Well, they need somebody. But there's a chance that, you know, they could sneak in. So it really looks like the Bulls and the Hawks, but they're going to have to play, it could be anyway. It could be the Pacers. It could be the Pacers or the Magic.
Yeah.
I mean, you get from 5 on down to 8.
Right. It's
that
close.
Could change. Yeah. That could change.
Magic's playing pretty good now. I think Magic's solid in the top 6.
So the Pacers are going to have to come in tomorrow and say, hey, we got to win this game.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to have to be in the play-in game.
Nice job, Cisco.
There you go. That's really nice right there. I feel like I'm at a doctor's office now. They tell you to read the bottom line and you can't read it. And then they give you the big line, say, okay, you need glasses. That's me. So if the game tomorrow is important for both these teams. Both these teams are important. Indiana and the Bulls is a must-win game for those two teams, okay? Especially the Pacers, because they are tied with the Heat in the loss column. They're one loss above the Sixers. So those three teams are jockeying for that sixth spot, and that's where you want to be. You want to be in that sixth spot.
Yeah, you want to avoid the play-in.
You don't want to be in the play-in game. So you want to be in that sixth spot. Miami knows that, and Philadelphia knows that. Miami's been playing really. They're over the last 10 games, they're 4-6. Nobody has been really knocking. They're, you know, playing really well. I mean, in this group, I mean, the Bulls are 4-6 out of 10 games. Sixers are 4-6. Heat 4-6.
Actually, Magic.
And the Pacers and the Magic are above 500, 6-4 and 7-3. Look at the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers are number 3. They've won 4 out of 10 games.
They've had a ton of injuries, yeah. So Donovan Mitchell's out again.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll cry me a river. I don't want to hear that.
Right.
We got injured. But I tell you who's been playing really well is the Knicks. I'm telling you, they play better, in my opinion, without Julius Randle.
DiVincenzo had 11 threes last night.
Oh, man. I'm telling you right now. My biggest thing with the Knicks is will they have enough gas when it comes playoff time? With the way Thibodeau plays these guys. That's been always
Thibodeau's recipe.
He plays these guys 40 minutes, Brunson 40 plus minutes, Hart 40 plus minutes, you know, and they're going to have a tough, they're going to get their big kid back, Robinson, pretty soon.
Right.
And that's going to add another big body for them.
And Randle should be back for the playoffs.
Randle should be back, but they've been playing really well without Randle. I mean, they've won, you know, 7 out of 10 games. So
yeah.
They've won 2 in a row. And so it's going to be an interesting playoff. Boston, to me, Boston doesn't really scare me, but I'll tell you what, though, they can shoot the basketball. They had like 21 three-pointers attempted in that first half where they knocked down 21 three-pointers against us. They shoot the ball extremely well. You know, Jaylen Brown's been out of the lineup. Porzingis has been out of the lineup. He came back the other night against Atlanta when Atlanta was down 30 and they came back and won. Atlanta right now is a team playing, you know, pretty decent basketball without Trae Young. So, there's Chief Little Leagues. So it's going to come down to that final week, man. 11 games left. Every game is important for each of those teams trying to get to the sixth spot.
Before we move on, talk a little March Madness, I got to ask your opinion on this crazy story that's come out about Jontae Porter of the Toronto Raptors. And now gambling is all over sports now.
Yes.
Now, Jontae Porter is a guy I was calling games in the G League. He was playing for the Raptors 905. That's the Michael Porter's brother, who's had a lot of injuries that's kind of derailed his career. He's just barely hanging on to a career. The Raptors called him up because they've made those trades. They've had all kinds of injuries. And supposedly, he was throwing prop bets and people were putting big money on the under. I don't know how you can bet on under Jontae Porter rebounds, which is crazy.
Wow.
That shows how pervasive gambling is. So the league is investigating it. And if they find out that he was deliberately tanking, he could get suspended for a year.
For life. Because no team will bring him back on the roster.
Because they got to make an example of him.
So he rose the NBA.
And plus, he's a fringe player right now anyway. It's not like he's a superstar player that they're going to slap on the wrist. This is a guy who's barely hanging on being in the league in the first place.
That's probably a way for him to make some extra cash, too.
Hey, listen.
He's not Shohei Ohtani, though.
We'll get into that later.
But I'm going to tell you something, though. This betting has really changed the complexion of all these pro sports. It is. Because now, the first thing that people look at, you know, when, especially in the NBA, I can't speak of the other game. I'm just speaking of what I see in the NBA, is when you sit up there and you see betting lines. We're constantly, you know, bringing up betting lines throughout the game. You know, you can bet on every quarter and all this other stuff. And then you start seeing some of the calls that the officials make. And the first thing that crosses your mind is, okay. Because you saw Rudy Gobert get a fine for saying that he thought they called a foul on him in a critical game against someone. And he immediately went over to the referee and did the money sign. Like, how much y'all getting paid? And a lot of people are thinking that. A lot of people are thinking that, especially like some of the calls that are coming up late in games. You're going, what call was that? I just believe, me personally, I don't think the officials are doing anything on the wrong.
Wait, no, hold on. You guys think I'm biased, but the Northwestern game gets Florida Atlantic. The inadvertent whistle, grabbing the ball, had possession, steps out of bounds. And then they said it was a possession.
Yeah, I remember that call. Yeah,
that's totally against the rules.
Okay, we're not talking about that right now. Anyway, before I was really interrupted, don't ever interrupt my sins.
I'm just saying, okay? That's a really simple game that means nothing, right? But there's a lot of money even on that game.
Well, you can say the Kansas, the block on the kid that blocked Kansas' shot.
100%.
Was a clean block, terrible play, and they gave him the 2 free throws, which cost him the game. So there's a lot of things going on. But I will say this just about the NBA referees. I don't believe there's any shadiness going on. I don't believe there is. I think the NBA stays on top of that, especially with the Tim Donahue situation.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It happened some years back, but I will say this. There's too many young officials in the game that don't know how to call an NBA pro game. Okay, They call games like it's a college game. The physicality and the speed of the game, I think it's too much for some of them.
And they're afraid of the star players, too.
Oh, not too much, Mark. They'll give you a tech for just looking at them. They'll throw you out. I will say that. They're quick to give you a tech. The ones I've seen, if you say, hey, man, that was a terrible call. Man, tech. There's no rapport with the players. And what I think the NBA needs to do, and I've seen it lately, is that they need to have two veteran officials and then one young official and start coaching these guys that way.
There's been such a turnover, though. It's crazy because I can't tell you how many officials I see doing NBA games now that I saw in the G League over the last couple of years. I mean, I'm literally talking over 10.
Yeah, there's a lot, man.
The G League up to the NBA.
There's a lot. I mean, these guys come up, you don't even know their names. Like, right. Who's that?
Can I add something to this, though? I've been reading the book from Billy Walters, greatest sports gambler of all time. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't gamble. So I don't know who the hell you're talking about. Okay, you know what you're talking about, Mark?
No, but go ahead with your story, Tim.
No, he follows him. He's so full of it.
It's a long story, Mark. We're sitting here. We got 2 weeks. Go ahead, Tim.
But he says that he doesn't believe there's any shenanigans going on because he's made hundreds of millions of dollars in betting and sports because the professionals are the first guys to report it. They're not actually trying to control it. They're trying to make sure it stays legit.
But this Jonte Porter thing shows you how ridiculous it can be that there are guys loading up on big bets. Now, he's a guy that plays lucky 10 minutes in a game, so his over-under and rebounds is probably 1.5. So he's got to get no rebound. You know, how stupid is that for a guy? Say, I'm going to go to the window, and I'm going to put 20 grand that Jonte Porter is going to be under.
But the professionals aren't betting on him. I'm talking about the real.
Well, that's why they caught him, because they knew that it made no sense.
He brought up his example in his book is the ASU shaving scandal.
My friend was on that
It was the second game. He called the Nevada Sports Commission, said, hey, something's going on here. And it was the fourth game that they said, all right, we got this. And they arrested those guys. It only took four games.
I might bring my friend who's the starting point guard during that scandal. I try to bring him on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast.
Well, let's get him on. Yes. Let's talk about Billy Walters.
Let him tell your story because it's a really interesting story. Really interesting.
Right. Well, I know a lot of people are following what's going on with the NCAA tournament. We'll talk a little bit about that when we return. Final segment coming up on Give Me the Hot Sauce. Hey, people were so excited about Christopher Walken coming back last week that we'll give him a reprise.
Dap.
Yeah.
That's right, Mark. I'm back. I'm better than ever. And the hot sauce has never been hotter. So if you're getting ready for spring barbecues and spring break, break out a couple of bottles and spice up your life. Spice up your sex life. Use it in the bedroom. Use it
on
the
grill.
No,
come on now.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's what I do. I may be 81, 82 years old. I can't even remember anymore.
What?
Oh, my God.
No, it's not about what. It's about how. It's how you use it. And what I'm telling you, you can spice up everything with this. You can make everything hot. Put it in your gas tank. Get a couple extra horsepower.
Just like Whispers.
I don't like that guy either. He doesn't even pack the sauce well. We get some broken bottles. And sometimes I go on ChristopherWalken.com and send me complaints.
So what are the codes that the folks can use at home to get a discount on their order?
Mark, don't cut me off. I'm making a comeback here. I may be in my 80s, but I still got some pride.
You're taking hot sauce in the bedroom. You got problems. Yeah,
you're lying. Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
That's part of my comeback.
Oh, my God.
Don't use Cialis.
Need more
Don't
cowbell.
Use Viagra.
More cowbell. More cowbell.
Yeah. Use Chicago Original. Gets everything rolling. So, yeah, use Walkin' Fire, Walkin' Q. Use shipping. I don't care what code you put in. Something
King 21.
King 21 is 21% off.
There you go.
There you go.
Christopher Walken stopping by to peddle some hot sauce. You can also find it at your local Jewel store. So stop by the neighborhood Jewel and pick up a few bottles. We mentioned gambling in the last segment. I guess we should address the elephant in the room, which is Shohei Ohtani. You buying his story? He was very forceful in denying all the allegations. But I tell you what, how could his interpreter ring up $4.5 million?
How do you say Pete Rose in Japanese?
Major League Baseball could have a huge problem on their hands if the biggest star in the game is found to have bet on baseball.
A Peter Rose.
Oh, that's just racist right there.
Oh, did I say it?
Did you see what Pete Rose said?
What?
He goes, I wish I had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
Wow. Wow.
I love that guy.
Did, yeah.
Oh, I'm not part of this show, ladies and gentlemen. Do your little tiny voice again.
I said, who are Pete Rose?
Oh, wow. Wow. We just lost another sponsor.
No, come on. Give me a break. It's
we lost Panda
valid.
Express. Panda Express is our biggest sponsor.
I'll tell you, baseball has been the biggest pack of hypocrites ever over the past 30 years, whatever. As long as you're selling tickets, you're good. As soon as you start to dwindle, I guarantee you he's golden right now. In 15 years, when his career numbers start to go down,
there's no way Shohei Ohtani is going to get any of this.
Absolutely not.
Major League Baseball would not let it happen.
No, he's the
biggest. No, you have to wait till the numbers start to go like this.
Well, which it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon, and it's just not. No.
A bunch of BS.
The interpreter took a bullet for the team.
If
that's what he's there for.
If it's 20, 30, 50 grand, let's say with his money, a couple hundred grand, $4.5 million.
That's a little bit of money, yeah.
How much was his contract?
$700 million,
which he doesn't collect.
Okay,
which he doesn't collect.
Yeah,
for 10 years.
Yeah. But $4 million to him is like $25.
And I think $200 million of it comes in hot sauce. Stacey King.
Oh, hey,
okay.
Listen.
Okay, listen. $4.5 million that your interpreter has control over.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, he could have been his financial advisor too.
Can you hit that what button again?
What?
Listen, Ohtani ain't got nothing to do with it. His damn interpreter stole the money. That's what happened. And I'm sticking to that
Major
story.
Major League Baseball is sticking to that as
Hell
well.
Hell yeah, I'm sticking with it too. Leave my man's showstopper alone, man. Leave him alone.
So how's your bracket doing? I know your alma mater.
Yeah, baby.
Looking strong.
Hey, Connecticut, we're getting ready to go for a repeat. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, I was a little nervous the first go around because I lost some. I didn't think BYU was going to lose. Come on, BYU. Come on, Big 12, baby. You let us down.
A lot of teams didn't show up.
Kansas lost. Auburn lost. Yeah. Oh, man. I was just like, come on, man. But all my main teams that I had advancing is advancing. So
Kentucky?
Yeah. Kentucky let me down. Oh, my God. This is what's wrong with the tournament. This is what's right with the tournament. It's unpredictable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because of the portal, because of NIL, you know, the field is balanced out now. You know, listen, Kentucky when you're playing with five freshmen, six freshmen, seven freshmen, you know, unless you got like a really superstar freshman, like a Chris Webber and that group and Anthony Davis and those guys when they were there, Kentucky hasn't had one of those players in a while, but they have talented freshmen that'll go to the NBA and they'll be productive in the NBA. But in the college game, these teams, they're going up against guys that are 23, 24, 25.
32.
There's been some guys in the portal that's been in school 8 years.
I know, with the extra COVID year.
Yeah, guys are they've been like 8 years. Yeah. They're like 25, 20. They're grown men.
This guy with the Oakland.
So you're going up against an 18-year-old, 17, 18-year-old kids going up against a 25-year-old grown man. I mean, and a team full of grown men.
Yeah, that guy looked like a military officer. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, the guy in
Oakland. 10 three-pointers, yeah.
The guy in Oakland, yeah, 10 three-pointers, yeah.
20 push-ups.
He looked like somebody's dad. I'm like, whose father is that?
They meet my grandkids.
He's like, yeah, you know, we're the real deal. And they got beat in the next round. Come on, buddy. Yeah. Hey, just ride the wave, baby. Mm-hmm. Just say, we upset a team. We're happy to be here. You know, I'm 34 years old.
Did you appreciate, though, Calipari's comments about what his kids are compared to the other teams?
What'd he say?
My kids are here to go to the NBA, not win a national title.
He was just making excuses because he's done the same thing for the last 15 years, getting all these McDonald's All-Americans. And then 1 year later, they go to the NBA. And now he's losing to these experienced teams.
Yeah.
Now it's a problem.
It's a terrible thing.
He's at a disadvantage.
I thought it was a bad thing to say.
Well, he's not. When's the last time he's been out of the first weekend?
Yeah, he's only won one first-round game in the last 5 years.
Yeah, last 5 years. So that's not a really good stat considering the fact that you have all these lottery picks.
Right.
So at the end of the day, here's the problem. And I said this about Calipari. Here's the problem. At the end of the day, your best kid's got to play. Everybody's not equal. You can't. His teams, he's trying to play 10 guys 15 minutes a night. You're not going to win that way because everybody's not equal. There is going to be better players than other players. The best kids have to play. And if those kids get mad at you, like, hey, man, you're in my chance to get to the note, you're not one of the best players.
That Rob Dillingham is going to be a top five pick in the A-League. He's coming off the bench. And playing like 15 minutes a game.
Like a bum. He's a buster. Yeah. He's like, oh, giving him 15 minutes. Yeah. This dude is a consensus top five pick next year in the draft, and he's coming off your bench. So you're telling me everyone has got this kid as a lottery pick, top five. He can't beat out any of those guys that are in front of him? Come on, man. This kid has been a top player from the time he was in high school. And this is how Calipari's always been. Guys on his team, you're trying to play everybody the same amount of time. You can't do that, man. You got to play if your best six kids are your best six kids, I'm playing my best six kids.
This has been pretty much a chalky tournament. The 1 and 2 seeds are all through. And it's the first time that's happened in a lot of years. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people saw what happened last year, where Florida Atlantic and San Diego State got in the Final Four. We're not seeing that.
Are you not seeing that?
We're seeing the Blue Bloods advance.
No, the Blue Bloods are back because the NIL. They're NIL. Getting it. Hey, bring my bracket up, guys, will you?
Your bracket?
Yeah, this is my bracket.
Oh.
Yeah, there it is
Hey, you've done well.
Okay, so I got North Carolina. I knew they were going to get there. You know, you got the surprise team is Clemson at number 6.
Yeah, because they look good.
Because Clemson, they kind of limped into the tournament. They were playing bad in the ACC at the end, and they started picking it up. They started picking up NCAA tournament. So that's my surprise team. I picked them anyway because I just knew that they were going to get there. But, yeah, those are my teams that I picked. And
you think Alabama's got a chance against Carolina?
No, because I think Carolina's too big. I thought the way Michigan State started the game against them, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, they're getting ready to upset, you know, North Carolina. Michigan State struggled this year. And Michigan State was physical. They were really physical. And then North Carolina said, oh, wait a minute. We're North Carolina. Hold on. We got big guys, too. And they started Bancott, and the other kids started playing really well. And the guard they got, Davis.
RJ Davis, yeah.
He's legit.
He's legit.
Like, he changed the whole tempo of the game. But the NCAA tournament is always guards, unless you got a dominant big man. If you got a dominant big man, that's where they shine. But if your big man's average, you know, gets you a couple buckets here and there, it's guard play. Guards being able to handle the ball, guards being able to break defenses down and being able to find open shooters. You already know the three-point shot is going to be prevalent. So you might as well just go ahead and that's a factor. So you got a good guard that can find him. I watched Houston play, and I said Houston has to be the favorite in the tournament this year because, you know, Kelvin Sampson has that team. It's one of the toughest teams in the tournament. It's one of the oldest teams in the tournament. I watched him come back the other night against Texas A&M, and Texas A&M was a pretty good team. And it was nip and tuck all the way. I mean, you know, Houston had double-digit lead, and they come back. And then they had to go into overtime. And then, like, four of their guys fouled out. Four of their starters, like, fouled out of the game.
Yeah, they had a walk-on.
They had a walk-on to come and hit a big free throw, okay? And that showed me that they are a resilient bunch. And I think where they're going to have a problem is when they face someone that's bigger than them. If they go against anybody their size, it's a wrap. They're going to kill you. But if anybody like Carolina, put my bracket up again, guys. Let me see one more
time. Well, they could play Purdue in the national semifinals.
Yeah. And see, Edie would give them a problem. Because Edie's like, 7'4". Okay, there's Houston and Marquette.
He's gotten a lot better, Edie,
Yeah, Edie's, he's, this bracket here, Houston and Marquette. Marquette is a physical team as well. So I still think Houston wins that game. But Duke has some size. Duke could give Houston some problems, but I just think Houston's just too tough. I think Duke is playing well at the right time because they came in limping two out of the, their tournament play. Then they got knocked out early. So, but they got a lot of good players. I mean, they're going to find a way to win. So, but I think with Purdue, with Edie, you got to play him physical and you got to run him. You got to make him run the floor, because I was arguing with somebody this other day. He's like, 7'4", he's going to be an NBA. He'll start in the NBA. No, he's not.
Not today, want guys like
not,
that
not in today's NBA. Yeah. I mean, you go look at the kid Garza that was player of the year and Big Ten player of the year, national player of the year, and everybody's, he's dominant. And he's been on two or three different teams since he came in the league. He hasn't played at all. And he's more agile than Edie, and Edie last year, I think, they told him to go back to school because his draft status was not where he thought it was going to be. It wasn't a lottery, So I think he's played better this year, but if he's not Wimby, he's not Chet Holmgren type of 7'4", 7'3".
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. His post-up game's not really that bad, but he's not a physical player, though.
Yeah, for that size.
He's just big.
Yeah. He is huge.
He's huge. He's
tough to move him out of the paint.
That's what she said.
All right.
Wow.
I think the food is here. So, Whispers, you got something for the folks to watch before we wrap this up?
I've been watching The Gentlemen.
How is that?
How is that?
Well, I love Guy Ritchie stuff. I mean, you have to, sometimes get acclimated to the accents and stuff. I had no idea that the main actor who played Number 4 in all those Convergent, Divergent series by an author from Barrington, oddly enough.
What's the story behind this?
It's another...
Who's from Barrington?
The author of all those books, Convergent, Divergent, the movies.
Oh.
She was a Barrington High School graduate.
Did you know her?
No, but my son did.
Oh, she's awesome age?
No, she's a bit older.
Oh, she's a cougar.
Maybe.
Oh, Austin, way to go, Stone Cold. Stone Cold, you old dog, you. I know you listen to the show, Stone Cold.
But nonetheless, I didn't know he was British because he's American in those movies. But it's that typical Guy Ritchie stuff where it's so brutal. I mean, just like vicious kind of humor and the brutality of it. Like a car of guys hitchhiking and a carload of priests pull up. And he goes, oh, no, you putty. I'm not getting in that car for you feeding me nuggets.
Oh, wow.
Stuff like you have to, follow all the words because you can get lost in it. But it's vicious all the way through, and I love that stuff.
Well, if you say watch it, we're going to watch it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Did you like Snatch and Two Guns and Two Smoking Barrels?
Yeah, Two Smoking Barrels, yes. That was good.
I mean, Snatch absolutely good. Fantastic. It's like that in a series on Netflix.
All right. Stacey, awesome. What do you got?
The Drop. It's a little older, not too old movie, but you got Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, and then Tom Hardy, who's a great actor. Just tremendous actor. Anything he does, he's really good at. And it's a movie about Tom Hardy plays this really slow guy, but he's not really slow. He's pretty smart. And so he's a bartender in this bar.
He plays that a lot.
Yeah. He plays that role a lot. So he plays this bartender. And the mob dropped this Ukrainian mob. They drop off money at different bars all the time. They launder their money. They drop it off at different bars all the time. And they pick and choose which bar they're going to drop it off of. It's never the same bar in the same month or whatever. So Gandolfini, they took his bar from him. So all the bars they own, they finagled them and got them from the owner. So they own all the bars.
No offense, but is she Italian?
Jesus Christ, I'm telling you.
Okay. Whispers bringing out his whole arsenal today.
No, was that supposed to be Tony Soprano?
Yeah, that was.
That was bad. It was terrible.
The worst Tony Soprano. Oh, my God. It might have been worse than your Tyson.
Nothing's worth in my time.
Oh my God, I'm done. I'm done with this. But anyway, it's a great movie. If you like Tom Hardy and you like the late great James Gandolfini, who was Tony Soprano, it's a great movie to watch. Really interesting. It's you know, it's got all kind of things going on. And I liked it. It was a good movie.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Give Me the Hot Sauce. Want to thank Ted Wynn for joining us, giving us some insight on the Justin Fields trade to Pittsburgh.
Mark, you never told us who you're watching.
I didn't have anything this week. I'm watching basketball around the clock. Basketball.
I'm sorry. I watched the NU game.
Wow.
I did watch that. I'm sorry. I had the under on 1.5 rebounds for their ninth guy.
Wow. Wow.
Me and Jonte Porter are going to the bank.
Wow.
You guys cleaned up.
Oh, wow.
Stacey, tell the folks how they can take care of their transportation. Oh, yes. You don't want to drink and drive we're not going to do tonight.
Yes, I've been drinking and I'm not driving today. Thank you very much. All right. Windy City Limousine provides a championship service. Making a reservation is so easy. It's a slam dunk. Let Windy City break the full court pressure of traffic and get you to your destination in style and on time. Contact them at 847-916-9300. That's 847-916-9300. Or visit WindyCityLimos.com.
And if you're ordering pizza for Caesar, hold the green olives.
Yes, Caesar. Oh, man. America, I wish y'all would have saw this pizza last week. We always order food.
That was an offense to humanity.
Yeah, it was. It was terrible. It looked like baby puke. So we always order
it was actually called the green olive
pizza.
Well,
it was terrible. You didn't even ask anybody else if they want to have green olives on their pizza. So America, so we always order food after we do the show, right? So Lou Malnati's, you hear us, we always order your pizza. If you really want to be a sponsor, you know, who was it?
It was Moretti's.
Oh, sorry, Lou Malnati's. Oh, but we can still use a sponsor.
We have Lou Malnati's. Well, we love Lou Malnati's.
Yes,
right
we love Lou Malnati's. Yeah. Today we have Lou Malnati's. Last week was Moretti's. Moretti's got good pizza too, I ain't gonna lie. So
he chose that because he wanted to get the calamari. That's the reason why.
Yeah, it was all about the calamari.
So it was like add
the
olives.
Calamari was awesome.
Add a million olives to get a free calamari. Is that what it was?
If you had a million,
if you eat them all, call them.
Listen, America. If you would have saw this pizza, normally you see olives sprinkled.
I think
the guy
tripped on the rubber comfort mat.
No. The dude whoever made that pizza should be slapped with a piece of pepperoni upside the head because he looked like he poured the whole can of green olives on the pizza. It covered up all pepperoni. Yeah. It covered up all whatever else we had on sausage. I don't even know what else on it.
We should have taken a photo and sent it back.
It looked like somebody. Weird. America. Yeah. When I opened up the box, it looked like somebody. That's like what it looked like. It looked like vomit.
We apologize to all of you who are eating right now.
Moretti's, it wasn't your fault. Moretti's, it's not your fault. No, your pizza is good. It was the fact that Tim decided he wanted to order.
It wasn't me.
He wanted to order you can eat olives on a pizza. Who does that?
Tim's wife likes green olives.
We were all low on sodium, I figured. So
it was the worst pizza I've ever seen. My driver, Caesar, was like, who the hell ordered all those damn olives on the pizza? I said, Caesar, listen, you came in, buddy. You're eating for free. Don't complain.
Caesar, it's free pizza.
Yeah, it's free pizza. Don't complain there, buddy.
I'm not asking you to move a piano.
Oh, my God.
All right, so on that note, the best pizza in the world, Lou Malnati's, is waiting for us.
Lou,
so
Lou, come talk to us, baby. Let's
pull down the curtain. That's right.
Yep.
Stacey, one more word of advice on the way out.
Don't get green olives on your pizza and drive home safely. Beep, beep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.